Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. You know, we're always on the lookout for those fun Indiana facts. Like, remember the time we went up to the largest yellow perch farm up there in Red Key? Well, who knew that one of the country's top-ranked ice sculptors lived right down the road outside of Yorktown? Stephen Cook owns the Indiana Ice Studio. Using chainsaws and other tools, he sculpts wedding centerpieces, decorative birds, and other designs for dozens of clients each year. He nationally ranked as one of the top ice carvers in the country. Yes, there is kind of like a Super Bowl of ice carving. He's the real deal. He's also great to talk to. We were there the other day when some students were visiting. We were in Stefan's workshop where he carts out ice one 300-pound block at a time and wields his electric chainsaw with scalpel-like precision in between jokes.
Hammer time.
Do you have to have steady hands to be able to do this, Stefan?
Not really. It's not like I'm defusing a bomb or anything. I typically budget 2 hours for a sculpture. I've just made a terrible mistake. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm still in the process of blocking it out, getting a silhouette. Now I'm just raising it up to a more appropriate height. This process is kind of like just coloring between the lines, which I was never very good at, but I'm just trying to follow my lines. This is a sculpture for a hospital foundation that is celebrating 100 years. They looked in the cost of getting a diamond that size, and they realized it would be prohibitive. So they went with ice. They realized it would be about 11 million carats. I just made that up. I don't know. In case you couldn't tell. I'm trying to say as much as possible that you're going to have to edit out later. Now, I'm just going to carve a principle of carving from the top down. I try to do that anyway. You carve from the bottom up, then you got delicate stuff at the bottom and heavy stuff at the top, and you can have problems. I'm basically carving a diamond by starting with a square, and then I'm going to cut off the corners and make an octagon if you're looking at it from the top. It's 17 sides. The difficulty with anything like this is we're trying to make it symmetrical. It's not so easy to do.
How forgiving is ice to work with?
It's pretty forgiving. About as forgiving as your pet dog. You know, you can get mad at them for getting in the trash. And then 5 minutes later, they're like, you know. So that's what ice is like. The dogs are furrier, though.
What do you do with all these extra blocks of ice on the ground? You just like
give them to you. You can take them home. Sometimes we use them to add to the display. We chip them up, put them around the tray. I do enjoy it, but you know, it's like any job. You can get to where you're doing stuff over and over and over again, and it gets tedious. I mean, I don't think there's a way to avoid that. I like being out here in the middle of the night carving. That's fun. I don't know. Nobody else is around. Nobody's calling me. It's just me and the ice. That's fun.
He got started when he went to culinary school to become a chef.
And ice carving is a culinary art. So typically ice sculptures we use to garnish the buffet table, keep food cold, make things pretty, just kind of as an ornamental centerpiece for the event. As you can see, it looks like a diamond on one side, and the other side looks like a diamond, but it's a little bit rough yet, so I still need to work the surfaces down so that they're more symmetrical, a little more pleasing to the eye. And you think about all those pretty flat surfaces on the diamond, but really what the eye is drawn to are the corners. Not so much the flat surfaces, but the corners and where they go. So that's what I'm working on. It's fairly close, so now I'm going to work on the rest of the piece.
What's the hardest part about ice sculpting?
All the silly questions like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I just had to say that. Oh, deliveries probably. You know, it's one thing to do a sculpture that's going to stay in a certain place like a competition. But if you think about it, none of this stuff is in its final resting place. So every time I'm sculpting a piece, I have to think about how am I going to assemble it on site? How am I going to transport it? That's in the back of my mind every time I design a sculpture or carve a sculpture. You don't want to design it too delicately so that it has a chance of breaking in transit. Every once in a while something breaks, but we can usually put it back together. So that's the hardest part probably. And then the deliveries are really kind of a pain. You know, sometimes there's space at the loading dock. Often there's not. Usually it's downtown. It's busy. You have to park on the street or you have to double park. Everything's difficult. It takes so long to get inside to the, and then once you get inside, you may have to go up the elevator, which may or may not work very well. You know, all that stuff takes time. So that's part of the, probably the most difficult part. We can do, if you're really in a pinch, you can get an instant freeze out of things like gum freeze, which, you know, chills the gum, makes it hard so it can peel off something. Or dust remover, which has an aerosol. You flip it upside down and spray it, and then it's so cold that it makes the ice crack. That's how cold it is. So in a pinch. So the sculpture we did in Alaska this year was 19 feet wide, 16 feet tall. I've done them bigger than that, but that's the dimensions of that one. So.
Now, is that by yourself, or do you have another?
That was a four-man team. No, it's three-man, one-woman team. And we worked 6 days, 16 hours a day.
Did you guys practice together, or like you just show up?
Well, one was my dad, so I knew him from a long time ago. And then one of them I have worked with before, and the other one I met at another competition. So.
Somebody saw a bottle of water labeled ice glue and asked what that was.
Yeah, the ice glue is two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen.
Okay. So where do you get that from?
I get it out of the faucet. Yeah.
I mean, like, you're screwing. Oh, okay, I get it now. All right. It took me a second. All right.
Yeah. Yes, it did.
Hey, we're journalists. He's not
completely awake yet.
I don't know. I know. It's still early for them.
I'm just seeing how much you'll have to edit out later.
Yeah, I seriously was doing it in my head. I was like, oh, that must be like a special ice sculpting glue that they make at like,
it is.
A factory or something
like that. It is. Well, one of my delivery guys, his son said to him, I just got this ice glue on me. Is it going to hurt me? So, no, it won't. I shower in ice glue every morning.
Stephan Cook, owner of the Indiana Ice Studio near Yorktown, having fun with some student visitors. As you heard, one young guy saw some water bottles off to the side that were labeled ice glue, which was just water. He asked about that, and Stephan said, yep, that stuff is two parts hydrogen to one part oxygen. We've got more with the wise guy ice sculptor coming up, but just ahead of that, a little visit to the Comic Con convention in Indy.
And the sky is a hazy shade of winter. I hang on to your hopes, my friend.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Indiana has so many conventions, it's sometimes difficult to remember which is which. You know, there's Gen Con, Pop Con, even Awesome Con. One of the favorites for people who like to dress up and be with other fans of comics, fantasy, and wizardry is Comic Con, which was just the other weekend at the Indiana Convention Center. About 5,000 visitors turned out to meet comic artists and celebrities from comic books and TV shows. Tourism officials say the various cons add an estimated $70 million of economic impact for the city. But then there are the intangibles. What's a weekend of fun worth anyway? We sent intrepid Indiana Weekend correspondent Allison Parise to Comic Con, where she met these folks.
My name is Chad Tura. I'm from Kenosha, Wisconsin. I'm actually an art educator and printmaker. I'm here at Indiana Comic Con because I heard it was awesome down here. I actually started this less than a year ago. I'm going to pop culture conventions and trying to sell my own work. I was kind of pushed on by a friend to do it. And that's pretty much it. Just doing my hobby. Just it's nice to, you know, have other people appreciate something that you love to do. So I actually do traditional block printing. It's a really old traditional way to reproduce your work. It's how people started to first reproduce their art in books and stuff like that way back in the day. And it's something I fell in love with in college, and I just kind of ran with it. And I don't know, I really like the intimacy you have with the art. You it's really absolutely all hands-on, hand-make each printing. Each print that I sell, I feel like, you know, it's a part of me, so it's great. I obviously dig art. I love art. It's a huge part of my life. And but I like the traditional ways, but more of a contemporary, I don't know if contemporary sounds, it's right, but more pop culture feel. If my kind of art, even though it's done in traditional method, I don't think it would be really respected in the like fine art community, because it is pop culture related and comic book and movies and stuff like that. But I come here and people appreciate it, and they I don't know, they like my stuff, like to take it home, hang it on their walls, and that's what being an artist is, hoping people like your stuff. So my favorite piece is probably my card deck. I spent almost a year prepping to display it out, but it took about 10-11 months, and each card, it's made up of 55 different linoleum cuts. That's including two jokers in the back design. That's all I had for the first show that I did. And I was just like, this is never gonna work. I have one thing to sell, but I have 55 different pieces to sell, because you get them each individually. You can get each one individually or the whole deck. So I don't know, I've been told a lot that it's a real original thing, and people tend to like it. This event, it's a big event. I've done a lot of smaller ones here and there. I've done the only other real big event I've done is Wizard World Chicago, and that's a lot of people too. But this seems more local. The Wizard World Chicago, Wizard World, it's a big company that does them all over the country. And this one seems more local, home talent, stuff like that. Oh, favorite part of interacting is definitely teaching people about the process. That is my absolute favorite part. I have all my blocks laid out on my table, and I encourage people to come touch the blocks so they can kind of get a feel of what the whole process is. And then I run them through the process, how I do it. I have my press here, so it's kind of, it's all visual and hands-on. And the art teacher comes out in me, and I get to teach everybody about a really cool traditional method.
I'm Ross Martin. I'm just at Indiana Comic Con for fun. It's a fun place to be and meet people, and I have lots of fun here. And then you can browse and buy things, and it's my first time here. But I go to other smaller cons, and this one's really big, and it kind of set me back for a second. But now that I'm like into it, it's a lot of fun.
I was going to say, what's the number one thing about this con that strikes you different from the others?
A lot of it's the size, and then people want more pictures here too. And it's a lot of fun when people want pictures.
I'm Lauren, and I'm at Comic-Con with family, actually. This is my second one, and like he said, it's just a great way to meet other people, and it's something I need to love. It's an awesome way to actually be able to express yourself and not constantly go through your own town and be like, okay, don't look at people, just avoid eye contact. And here you can actually be yourself and talk to people, get more pictures, like make friends from other states.
My name is Jennifer, and this is my first year at Comic-Con. I've actually done Gen Con before with the gaming, and I've kind of done, you know, as an attendee and a booth worker, so I wanted to kind of check out Comic-Con this year. What am I doing? Well, I actually meant to come in and promote some of my costumes and jewelry and forgot my business cards, and so I've been taking a lot of photos today and trying to figure out who I'm looking at. Some people are, you know, into like LARP, live action role playing, cosplay, reenactment. Some people just do it for, you know, just the costume fun. I personally like it as a creative outlet. I don't go out and, you know, reenact anything. Some people are into it for the kinky aspect. I mean, it's kind of a little bit for everybody if you're open to it. So this con has been extremely busy for photos. I have had a really hard time trying to get from one place to another because of being stopped. I do enjoy the artwork. There's a lot of artwork here. It's great.
That's Jennifer, Lauren, Ross Martin, and Chad Tura, all talking with our Allison Parise at Comic-Con, the convention of fantasy fans in Indianapolis recently. One fellow summed it up perfectly. "I'm here to meet new people and be myself," he told Allison. "I wanted to go full nerd."
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
So we met Stephen Cook, the former chef behind the Indiana Ice Studio, where he takes a chainsaw to 300-pound blocks of ice and turns them into, well, somewhat temporary pieces of art, often found adorning banquet tables at high-end functions. The ice sculptures are beautiful to look at. Their creator, meanwhile, is a complicated guy with a wit as sharp as his chainsaw.
I grew up all over the world, really, but I've lived in central Indiana since I was about 12, so.
Were you in the service?
No, I was a kid. And my parents were missionaries. So that's why I grew up all over Europe, South America, the Caribbean. So I had always carved. I carved wood when I was just, you know, 12 years old. I didn't know that I wanted to do it for a career. I didn't know that I was really that good at it until I got into competitions in culinary school, and then soon after that I started the business and started doing it more and more. So I've just gotten better and better since then, of course.
Did you go into culinary school right after high school or college or?
No, I actually had a bachelor's degree. I worked at Ontario Systems for 5 years, and then I went to culinary school.
You don't give lessons, do you? How do somebody not in culinary school, how would they get into something like this?
Yeah, I mean, I would give a lesson, but I find that a lot of people, they want to know how to do something without taking the time to learn it, and it takes a long time to learn it. And so people want to, and I guess this is just human nature, people want to run before they can crawl. And so I think with beginners, it's hard to get them to the point that where they realize they have to learn the basics first and they have to be dedicated to it in order to really start to, you know, to master anything, it takes 10,000 hours, right? I mean, you gotta put the time in before you're gonna master it. There's just no other way. You can't do it magically. You've got to take the time and you gotta learn the media. You gotta learn the tools. You gotta take the time to learn how to control your hands, to learn how to control the tools. That just takes time. It takes time on ice, takes time on the tools. And a lot of beginners just don't realize. I didn't realize that when I was a beginner. You know, I wanted to run before I was crawling, really. It took me a long time to learn that stuff. So I think that's the main problem. So yeah, I will give lessons, but I'm looking for people who are dedicated. I'm not looking for somebody who just wants to come in and just carve something 3D in their first day. That it just doesn't work that way.
10,000 hours. Have you read Malcolm Gladwell? Outlier?
No, I haven't, but I've heard that from other. I mean, that's a quote from somewhere. Yeah. Apparently, Malcolm Gladwell.
You've thought about this a lot because you have time as you're working on one of these pieces. Right. You have time to think about this.
Sure. I think about it a lot when I design the piece. I do it. I spend a lot of time designing, especially competition pieces. Especially competition pieces in Alaska, where you're working with ice that you could never practice for that. You could only practice in small amounts. You practice a small element of the sculpture, and then you practice another small element, and then you get there and you put it all together. So there's a lot more visualizing and concept sketching before you get there, a lot more mental preparation before you get to something like that, because, of course, when you get there, you want to be ready. So that's a 6-month preparation. For me, it is. I mean, some guys can do it a lot faster than that. But for me, I like to spend a lot of time with the design, a lot of mental preparation before I get up there, a lot of how I'm going to do it. And then often when I get there, I find that I could have been even more prepared than I was. You know, I'm never as prepared as I want to be, I feel like. So,
is Alaska like the Super Bowl of this?
Anytime we do lake ice or natural ice, and it's a bigger block, it feels like a bigger event. Also, we invest a lot more in it. You know, it takes money to get there, to get ourselves there. It takes money to get our tools there. There's a huge investment in it just with time. So in that respect, it is, I don't think we can say Super Bowl. I think it is the big game. I think that's what we're supposed to say.
You can't say Super Bowl. We don't want to say this. Is it the biggest competition you do?
Yeah, it's probably the biggest competition, yeah.
Can you make a living at this?
I am making a living, yeah. You can make a living, yeah, sure.
I take it that while you're glad to make a living, you enjoy this. I mean, it's more than just a production kind of
if
thing.
That's the reason I'm not working with computers anymore. That was a living. I mean, you can make a living all kinds of ways, but I wasn't really thriving at what I was doing. I wasn't progressing. So I changed careers. So yeah, I mean, a lot of people ask me, well, what else do you do? And I'm tempted to say, well, I walk the dog, I go out to eat with my wife. What business is it of yours? Because to me, the question sounds a little bit disrespectful. It seems like they're diminishing what I'm doing when they say that, and I could be wrong.
So you placed fourth in the national competition in February in Ohio. Yeah.
Right.
Was there a piece that you did that you said, hey, this is, make it, when you go into those, do you like save up some idea or something?
Of course, everything's planned. Everything's planned. I mean, we may have to adjust the plan, but everything's planned and practiced beforehand. So it was a 2-sculpture competition. So I did a 1-block sculpture the first night and then 2-block sculpture the next day.
Stephen Cook, Indiana Ice Studio. You heard his banter with the students, the little clinic he gave us on ice carving. If you need a 100-pound diamond sculpted from ice, a bird, or one of the other creations, he can be Googled. The price sounds reasonable, and he throws the jokes in for free. And that, art lovers, is our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time, and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you'd like more information. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beauty Rest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.